are we hearing from God? And particularly in times like this. And sometimes I wonder, well, I'll tell you what, why don't I get into the message and then we can all wonder together. How's that? We're going to start with Scripture tonight. I'm going to read you a passage out of Isaiah chapter 7. Starting in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart," talking about Ahaz, "so his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind." In other words, they hear this bad report and they're shaking in their boots. "Then the Lord said to Isaiah," you know, we've been talking about over the last several weeks, gifts of the Spirit, and one of those was prophecy. Well, here is Isaiah getting a word of knowledge and wisdom to share with Ahaz. And the word of prophecy. So in verse 3, "Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now and meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field." This is a very specific word that Isaiah needs to follow. "And say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted." Listen to that. "Take heed and be quiet, do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabal. Thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." I began our evening tonight asking, what is the Lord speaking to you? What is the Spirit of God saying to you today? What is he telling you about, oh, your spiritual development? What is he speaking to you about your family, about your finances? If you're facing trouble right now, is the word of the Lord coming with encouragement for you? Are you hearing his word? See, as a born-again child of the living God, you ought to know the answer to these questions. And in reality, a majority of believers don't. And I will admit, I have been caught like a deer in the headlights when somebody asks me, what has God been saying to you lately? And there have been those moments when it's like, oh, you know what? I don't know. What is God saying to me? A lot of us are in that predicament. If I were to ask this group, what is the Lord saying to you individually? I know we would have a number of people who would have that deer in the headlights look on their face, like I have at times. You know, whenever we find ourselves in that situation, we need to turn to God. We need to find out from God what the answers to these questions are. You know, it may mean that we have to be quiet long enough to actually hear what he has to say and to pay attention to what he has to say to us. We have to stop operating in fear. We have to start believing God. Otherwise, I tell you, in these odd and crazy times, the devil is going to clean our clocks. We have to know what God has in store and in mind for us And we have to have his leading if we're going to be effective in our purpose and victorious in this life. Now, I know that's all very common. Everybody would agree with that. Yes, absolutely, Pastor. That's exactly what needs to happen. But you know, there are a lot of people who would say, yeah, but Pastor Bill, God never speaks to me. Anybody who reads their Bible will see that God has been trying to get his people, every generation from the first Adam, been trying to get his people to stop being afraid and to listen to his voice. And this is an example that we just read here. This is an example in the Old Testament of an Old Testament king named Ahaz. Back in the days of the prophet Isaiah, Ahaz is in serious trouble at this time. He has two enemy armies that are coming against him, and he has no idea what to do about it. All he is doing is, as the word said, shaking like the trees in the wind, along with his people. So God sent a word to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, with that word, gives Ahaz an entirely different perspective. All that I wish that as believers in this crazy, backwards world that we are trying to exist in at the moment, I wish that God would speak to us in such a way that it would change our entire perspective. I tell you what, a lot of Christians need their perspectives changed. And you know, we might be some of them. A lot of Christians need their perspectives changed. They need to have God's perspective on the situation and the events of our world taking place right now. Well, instead of agreeing with what Ahaz thought, through the prophet Isaiah, God shows him that the enemies Ahaz faced weren't all that impressive. Didn't faze God at all. God referred to them as two smoking stumps, really, that's what it means. Then he assures Ahaz that the plans that those enemies had against him wouldn't stand. That is, if he would simply obey the following instructions. He told him to take heed. He told him to be quiet. And he said to fear not. And then in verse 9, those were in verse 4. Take heed, be quiet, fear not. And in verse 9, he said, believe. Now, in this situation, facing a crisis, Ahaz has a prophet speak to him. He speaks to him the word of God. Now, before you head down the road and you try to find a prophet to speak to you the word of God, let me save you a trip. You see, we don't need a prophet to tell us what to do or what to think. We have a better covenant than Ahaz had. See, we need to realize we are not just servants of the living God like they were in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. Through the blood of Jesus, you have become a son and a daughter of God. You are the family. And the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And Jesus confirmed that fact in John chapter 10, if we take a look at that, starting in verse 2, he said, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Did you see that? The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, as children of Almighty God, we have the right and the spiritual ability to hear the voice of God for ourselves. And everybody said, hallelujah! I know, that's what we should be saying. If you really caught that, that should be, whoa, man, I can hear God for myself. I don't have to wait for Isaiah the prophet to show up and give me the word of the Lord. Now, am I saying that God is speaking to us all the time? Yeah, I am. He is. Problem is, we've just been missing it. You know, it's not like God is holding out on you and he's saying, well, maybe I'll say something to him tomorrow. Maybe if they get desperate enough. No, that's not what God is saying. I believe God is speaking to us all the time. Now, just to kind of give you the concept I'm trying to paint here. You know, there was a time in the days before digital tuners on our television sets, there was a time when I would turn on my television and I found that something was wrong with the picture. Maybe it was fuzzy, maybe there was some crackling in the audio, maybe the picture was just wrong in some way or another, colors were weird or whatever. Maybe it was just fuzzy, you know, you get the idea. Well, when that would happen, right away, I would grab the telephone, I would call the television station, and I would tell them that something was wrong with their transmitter. Yeah. If I had to, if they weren't listening to me, I'd get the executive of the television station on the phone, and I'd say, hey, you guys must be doing something wrong. It's not working. You're not broadcasting, because my television is turned on, but I am not seeing a thing. Okay, well, actually, I didn't do that. I didn't even think about that. You see, I was sharp enough to figure out that the problem most likely wasn't with the transmitter. The problem was most likely with my television set. It was my problem. So instead of blaming the broadcaster, I started to try and fix the problem. I mean, I would work on it on my end. I checked, you know, the electrical connections. I'd look to make sure that the antenna or the cable was plugged into it. I would check the television itself to make sure all of the settings were right. And this was, you know, for you young people, you don't understand this, but back in the day, I mean, it used to be quite an art to really tune in a station and get it right. Am I right, Gary? Oh, the things we would do with tinfoil and you know, little pieces of metal that... It was amazing. But anyway, are you catching my drift? See, I checked everything on my end. What's more, I stayed with it. Listen, I stayed with it. I didn't just go, oh, well. I stayed with it until I got it fixed. Why? Well, because I didn't really doubt that the television station wasn't transmitting. I figured they were still broadcasting. The truth is, my TV was more of a problem than they were. Now, I understood if I could successfully tune in, those channels that I was trying to get would be there. And don't you think we ought to have at least as much faith in God as we have in our television broadcasters? We believe they're broadcasting. They're talking to us all the time. And if there's a problem with that signal, we don't automatically think it's them. We all start pounding on the box and doing whatever we can to make it work on our side. The truth is, those television stations can break down. They do fail us every now and then. Actually, it's really pretty rare when you consider how much they actually broadcast. But you know, God never fails us. God never breaks down. God has given us his word. He's promised that he will lead us by his spirit, that he will enable us to know his voice. So if we're having difficulties with those things, we need to stop thinking God is playing hard to get or ignoring us. And we need to determine where we're missing it. And actually, that's not really so hard to do. I mean, when we have trouble hearing God's voice, it's almost always for one of four reasons. One, we just don't believe that he's speaking to us. Another one is we're not always paying attention. We're allowing some other kind of interference to drown out his voice. Oh, there's a lot of interference out there today. Is there not? And sometimes we just don't plain know what frequency that he is on. We aren't tuned in. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. Exactly how do you locate the frequency that God uses to speak to you? See, as we begin this year and we are spending time in prayer, extra time in prayer, we're spending some time denying the flesh so that we can be more in tune with the Spirit, we want to make sure that we have some success in this area. We want to make sure that we can tune in the voice of God. So how do we do it? Well, I'll tell you right off the bat, you don't go about by using those funny little appendages on the side of your head. You know, these things. Aren't ears funny? Just take a look at the ears around you. Just for a moment. I don't know why, this, you know, side trail here. I was watching an older movie the other day on the morning on the treadmill. That's usually when I'm doing that. And there was an actor there that had somewhat odd-shaped, kind of pointy ears. And it's like, for most of that movie, I kept seeing those ears. That was the thing. Ears are funny little things, or funny big things, you know. It all depends. All right, now back to where we were. Ears are not the way to hear. You know, some people try to hear God through their ears. The natural ears, they think that he would speak to them audibly, and if he would speak to them audibly, everything would be solved. Well, it's very rare that anybody hears God speak audibly. The problem is our natural ears really aren't the main receptors for hearing the voice of God. We were created to hear him in our inner man, or what 1 Peter 3:4 calls the hidden person of the heart. See, God rarely leads his children by outward voices or by signs and wonders. You know, that's more for those who are non-believers. He leads us, he speaks to us by that inward witness of that hidden person of the heart. So to find his frequency, the first thing that we have to do is to tune in. We need to tune in, not with our head, but with our heart. Looking at Hebrews 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. We don't want to harden our hearts. We want to hear his voice. And now the $64,000 question is, how do you know the difference between your head and your heart? See, scripturally speaking, your head is your soul, which is comprised of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your head. Your heart, on the other hand, in the spirit, is the spirit which is the core of your being. If you've been born again, you have been joined to the Spirit of God. And I'll admit, discerning the difference between, well, the voice that you hear between your heart and your head is really a challenge, and it takes some spiritual wisdom to do it. I mean, how many of us have thought we've heard something and then we vacillate back and forth? Was that really God or was that me? Was that just my thinking? Is that just my own crazy thought or was that God speaking to me? Well, at least I'm not the only one that has done that. It's a challenge, but the Bible tells us how to clearly develop the wisdom to know the difference. Anybody want to guess how? We do it by spending more time in the written Word of God. We spend more time in the written Word of God. The Word of God, your Bible, contains the voice of God in its most tangible form. God always agrees with his written word, and his spoken word always agrees with him, like when Isaiah spoke. If Isaiah spoke and that didn't agree with God, it wouldn't be God's word. Whether it's by a prophet like Isaiah or whether it's that still small voice that you may hear in your heart and your spirit, It's God's word, and he agrees with it. And in fact, Psalm 138:2 says, he has magnified his word even above his name. Wow. That means God has put his name on his written word. Kind of the same way that we put our name on the bottom of a contract. He has given us his word as a covenant, and he has signed it in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And since God cannot lie, there's no way that he's ever going to say something contrary to that word. He has absolutely joined himself to the written word, to his written word. And he uses his written word to help us spiritually tune our ears. He's trying to help us to be able to discern the real from the counterfeit, so we know when we're hearing a voice that it's his voice and not some other voice. Have you ever seen an impersonator? I mean, somebody who mimics other people and you know, famous people, and they do it so well, you think, that's really good. I know exactly who they are, who they're mimicking. I can tell exactly, you know, that's John Wayne, that's Bob Hope, or you know, whoever they're doing. But you know what? If you were to put the real personality right next to the impersonator, oh, the differences would be glaring. What seems like a very good impersonation is not going to seem all that great when you have the real thing right next to it. So if you saw them both at the same time, you're not going to think they are such a good impersonator. And that's the way it is with God's written word. The better you know his written word, the closer you are to him in that word, the more you've heard God speaking to you, it's easier for you to tell the difference between his voice and another voice. Somebody's moaning. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's the word of God. Did you notice it says, to the division of soul and spirit? Remember I said your mind is really your soul. It's your mind, will, and emotions. And then you have your spirit. And the word of God is going to help you to discern the difference, help you to divide the soul and the spirit so that you know, so that you are able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's good stuff. It makes it easier for you to divide your soul from your spirit. It makes it easier for you to discern between the voice that you might be hearing in your head and the voice that you are hearing in your heart. I want to be able to know that difference. I want it to be very clear. I don't want there to be a lot of confusion there. Because when there is that confusion, not a lot gets done. I don't obey because I'm not sure. I end up losing. We don't want that to happen. When you've trained your voice, or you trained yourself to hear God's voice by his word, the devil's not going to be able to sneak some kind of deception in on you either. You know, he's pretty good at mimicking, but when you hold it right next to the real thing, it's pretty easy to tell. See, when the devil comes along and he tries to razzle-dazzle you with some religious-sounding voice that says, you know, I love you, my son, and I love all people, and you're going, yeah, right, it's all love, it's love, and I love all those who love other people. And even if they love someone that's just like them and like they would love another person of another gender, but if they love it, it's all love, it's all good. Well, if you know the word of God, you know that's not the way God sees it. Just because you tack love onto it doesn't make it right or righteous. Anyway, the devil will try and deceive you. See, you've got to be in the Bible. You won't be able to make that discernment without having some training. And you don't get that kind of training just by being very casual about your Bible reading. You know, you read it every now and then. I mean, everybody should read the Bible sometime, right? You won't get the needed training to hear and discern God's voice by just generally knowing what the Bible says, or by mixing it with what, you know, your own opinions are. If we really want to learn to hear the voice of God, we do that by the Word of God. And then we have to do what God told Ahaz to do. We'll have to take heed to it, right? That means we need to pay attention. Pay attention. Paying attention is more than just mental ascension to the scripture you just read and saying, oh yes, hallelujah, amen, that's a good word, good word. No, paying attention means that we lock in on what's being said and we make a firm commitment, a decision that from now on we're going to see this, whatever it is that God is showing you, we're going to see this matter the way that God sees it instead of the way that we've always seen it before. If God has never changed your mind or opinion on a matter, you just haven't been paying attention. You know, I mean, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've always thought I was dead on with my beliefs, and God has shown me time and time again, nope, 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 nope. There are some things you're just a little off on, some things you're off, way off on, and we're going to have to bring that into alignment, and that only happens if I'm willing to hear his voice and then heed it. Pay attention to it. Determine that his word is his word. It is truth. And because it conflicts with what I may believe or what I've always thought or what I've always been taught, well, I'm going to have to get on that or get beyond that. We have to shut down all those mental gymnastics that we've been doing. Stop trying to think of how our own opinions would play into what God has to say about something. We just need to really listen to him. Listen to what his word is saying. I'm talking about how we tune in and how we are able to discern what God is speaking to us. Do you realize it's possible to read great quantities of scripture and never really hear what God is saying? Okay, again, I'm not the only one. I'm thankful that I am not the only one that has that issue sometimes. It is not only possible for people to read a lot and not really understand or get what God is saying. Here's how it happens. Here's how it happens with me. We'll read a verse or two and something in that passage that I'm reading will spark another thought. You know, and just all of a sudden I'm off on another train of thought. Maybe I'm thinking about what grandma used to say about, of course not my grandma, but you know, somebody's grandma, what grandma used to say about the scripture or what your favorite Bible teacher taught about that scripture. It's real easy to start thinking about that and not really pay attention to what actually God is saying to you at that moment. You know, I got out of the habit very early in my Christian life of taking notes in my Bible, mainly because of this. Because when I read the Bible, I don't want to see that note and go, oh yeah, that's what that means. I want to read the Bible and let God share new things to me so I don't just automatically settle on some thought that I had. Now, I'm not picking on anybody that takes notes in your Bibles. I'm just telling you what I do to avoid that conflict. When I read it, of course, now I have this, and I read it out of an electronic device, and I could make notes on this. You know, we have the ability, but I don't. I make notes in a notebook, and I'll keep things there, but when I'm reading the Word, I don't want to have those distractions. Well, not only is it sometimes that, but what often happens for me is I'll be reading my Bible and all of a sudden another thought comes up. Oh, I got to remember I need to do this later today. And then before long, I've already worked out my whole schedule and I've gone through 3 chapters of the Bible and I go, wait, what did I just read? So you know what? I go all the way back and start reading again, you know, where I've realized, okay, I lost it. I read it, but I don't remember anything about what I just read. So we have to make sure that we are heeding the word, in other words, paying attention. Might end up with just a vague idea of what you read if you're not paying attention. Reading the word of God and not really paying attention has almost no benefit at all. Almost no benefit at all. I mean, it's better than if you never picked up the book, but if you're not really going to pay attention, you're missing all of the value in it. To hear the voice of God through His Word, we have to zero in on every word as we read it. Think about that. You know, instead of just breezing through the Bible, reading it like you'd read a novel or some history book, read it deliberately. Read it with purpose. You know, read it and meditate on it and ask yourself, what does this thing mean to me? What does that, we could look at that passage that we read about Ahaz. That passage, if we just pause there and say, okay, what does this mean to me? What application does it have for my life? What is God trying to show me by having this in the Word? Ask the Lord to reveal specifically what he's saying to you through the word that you are reading at the time. Read every verse with the attitude that it is God speaking to me and I am going to do what He tells me to do. That's heeding the word. Make a quality decision that you're going to act on the word as quickly as you would the word of your doctor or the word of a lawyer or the word of a very close and trusted friend. Act on it. Yeah. We need to make a commitment before we begin to read it. And every now and then, I just have to remind myself of that. You would think I would have it down by now after 30-something years of reading the Bible. You would think it would be just as easy as rolling off a log. But no, sometimes I actually have to stop and pause and make myself deliberately think about what I am reading. I don't know what it is about the human condition. And maybe it's just me, or maybe it's just a few of us, but I have to do that. It's not easy. We have to make a commitment before we begin to read it that we are not going to bend the word to fit our lifestyle, to fit our preconceived notions. Instead, we're going to bend our lifestyle to fit that word. See, with that attitude, our spiritual ears will be open to hear whatever God has to say. But Pastor Bill, I'm afraid I'll do all those things and I still won't be able to hear the word of God. Well, stop being afraid. I mean, isn't that what Isaiah told Ahaz? Stop being afraid. Quit being fearful. Doesn't the word say, fear not? Instead, remember I said we need to heed the word. If the word says, fear not, don't be worrying about that stuff. Instead, take a step of faith and believe what Jesus says. He said, you are His sheep and that you hear His voice, so stop doubting Him. Don't ever again say, I can't hear God's voice. Because I say, if you're a born-again believer, you can hear God's voice. You can hear God's voice. Start agreeing with me and start agreeing with Jesus and believing and agreeing with His word. Say, the word says I can hear His voice. So I believe it. I can hear the voice of God. Everybody say that. If you're a born-again believer, if you're not, then hang on. Just come and talk to me at the end. But if you are a born-again believer, say, I can hear the word of God. Just as a statement of faith, I can hear it. I believe it. God said it. Jesus told us that we, His sheep, would recognize His voice, that we could hear Him. And then you need to put your faith into action. You believe it, all right, put your faith into action. Open your ears. Open your heart. and start listening for the voice of the Spirit, especially when you're reading the Word. Pay attention, not just to the activity in your brain, but also to the quickenings of the inner person, right? If you're not sure what I'm talking about that little stirring. You know, you've had times when you thought like you had a hunch or something. You know, well, I think maybe this is what God is. I'm not sure. Well, suddenly something just dawns on you, and you believe you knew or you understood something that you hadn't known before. That is God. Those are the kind of dawnings that come from your born again spirit. Again, it's going to line up with God's word. So, you know, if you get some crazy notion that flies through and you know the word, you'll go, that wasn't God. Move that aside. But you see, as you grow into this and as you're heeding the word and as you're paying attention and as you're being deliberate as you're reading and as you continue to infuse your spirit with God's word, you're going to be able to begin to distinguish and hear and pick up on what he is leading you to. Make it your purpose to become more aware of the promptings that arise in your spirit because you have the leading of God. You're hearing from him. Learn to trust them. Learn to trust them. After all, you're grounded in the word, right? You can discern your head from your spirit. You can discern what's God's word from the world's junk. So begin to trust it. The Holy Spirit is going to help us out on these things, these promptings, these urgings, right? He's going to do it a little at a time. He knows our level of ability. He knows our level of faith. He's not going to give us something really weird and risky to start out. He's going to take us at what level we are, and he's going to lead you. But the more that you are faithful to listen and the more that you are obedient to his word to follow, the more and more he will reveal to you. And before long, you might be doing risky things because God said, this is what you need to do. But then you'll be ready for it. It'll be at that time when he's built up that faith and built up your understanding to that point. But it all has to begin with you getting into the word. When you're first learning to identify God's voice, most of what you're going to hear will be yes and no kind of things. You know, you'll wonder, what about this? And he'll answer simple answers. But as time goes on, God will reveal deeper thoughts, greater concepts. He'll begin by showing us simple truths from the word that we can act on now. Question is, will you act on it? I hope so. He'll reveal from the word something. Will you obey? How can you obey more fully the law of love? He'll show you how. He'll show you ways that you can bless other people that are around you. And now here's the key. The more you trust his voice, the more you follow his leadings, the more clearly you will find that you are hearing from him. The people who are most confused about whether or not it's God are those who just haven't really followed through. They remain confused. They can't move ahead one way or the other because they're just confused. You have to start stepping out in faith. And I tell you what, before long, hearing from God won't be an occasional event, but it can be an everyday part of life. I mean, that's what we're shooting for, right? Not just every now and then get a word every 3 months or 4 months or 6 months or a year, just every once a little bit here and there. No, we want to be walking in the Spirit. We want to be abiding in him as he abides in us. That's the whole goal. And then someday when someone asks you, what's the Spirit of God speaking to you today? Instead of going, love my neighbor. maybe you'll have something that God has really revealed to you, something that is deep and meaningful and would be helpful for them as well. And if nothing else, it helps them understand where you are and what you're all about. Amen? Yes, it's all started by the Word. Spend time in the Word. I know. It's like a broken record around here. I'm telling you to always read your Bible. Pastor Ben is telling you, you got to be in the Word. All the great men of God say the same thing, right? Get in the Word. Begin, if you haven't begun a Bible reading program, you know, beginning of the year is the best time. I mean, it's like everything else. You just have to stick with it. And if you get, you know, I'm on a Bible reading program every year. And in fact, I switch it up from year to year so it doesn't get the same. And hopefully I see something new. But, you know, I'm reading this year the entire Bible in chronological order. So the way I did last year as well, but I read a different plan in chronological order. And so I'm reading through the Bible this year in chronological order. Last year I read through the Bible twice in that order. This year I'm changed it up. I'm reading the Bible once in chronological order, but every 40 days I'm reading the New Testament in chronological orders as well. So I don't know how many times will I read the New Testament in a year if I cover it every 40 days. 10 times? I'm spending time in the Word. Why? Because I know how important it is to me. If you just have, like Pastor Ben said, 5 minutes a day is where you're starting, that's fine. Just be serious about it. Take it seriously. Be committed to it. Heed what you are reading. Take moments in that time of reading and say, okay, now what does that really mean? What's God speaking to me about this? You'll get a whole lot more out of that than just breezing through it. It's not just to, you know, fulfill some obligation and check off that day. This is really important stuff. It's how we get close to God and how He gets closer to us. Amen? In that regard, as far as being able to speak to us so that we can understand. All right. Well, thank you for being patient and enduring that message of browbeating and getting in the Word. So if you need healing now, we'd be happy to pray with you. Or if you need any other prayer, come on up and we'll find people who have like-minded faith that will join you. Amen. God bless you. You are officially dismissed. Go in peace. Yeah.